Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, November 21st of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. It is great to be with you, wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be accessing the program. It's great that you're with us, wherever you're tuning in from, wherever it is, you know, whatever you're doing. If you're here in this country, I hope you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Hopefully looking forward to, you know, the great food, of course, but also, you know, thanking God for what he's done, because ultimately it's to be about giving thanks to God. That's what it's about. And people can lose track of that. You know, it's a wild thing. People who aren't Christians may not realize things about these holidays that we have that are about, you know, Christians, like Christmas, like Thanksgiving, like Easter. You know, Christmas being, which we'll be celebrating in about a month, will be the actual Christmas day. But for those of us, but it's a cool thing how places will, in one way or another, you know, celebrate his birthday for like a month. Because you think about it, in various places they've got trees put up and stuff, and, you know, and we have a station around here that will usually play, you know, soft rock and different things like that, and like from like most of November, basically all November and most of December, they play continuous Christmas music for almost 2 months, which is amazing when you think about that. Now, you know, I don't know about the roof. Okay, I do think that one is funny, but my pastor kind of thinks it's okay, it is funny. And also, Dominic the Donkey. Some of you may have heard about it before. Some of you may have not. I think it's fun. I think it's another comical Christmas song. I mean, I would not say it's a carol because it's not a true carol in the form of in which we think of carols. It's a comedic Christmas song. I'll give it that. So that's what that one is. I know I jumped the gun a smidge, but honestly, who cares? This is the last show I'll be doing before Thanksgiving. With that in mind, next week when I come back, it'll be switched to Christmas music. It'll be me singing Christmas music. Which will be a great thing. It's been something I've been doing every year, ever since I launched this. This will be the 7th season of me doing this. Really? Yeah. Yeah, it has been. It'll be the 7th season of me doing it. I mean, I know it was seven. I was saying really because some people might be thinking that. Seven seasons. And I've enjoyed doing it. And looking forward to doing it again. And because I love Christmas, the Christmas season. And yes, there will be like our great Christian, Christmas music, as well as some of the other Christmas classics, including maybe even some novelties here and there. So it'll be an awesome thing. And then for a day or two after Christmas, yes, there will be some overflow, a little bit of an afterglow, because especially in a day where people decorate for Christmas early, often leave it up late. I just put my stuff up a couple days ago. It'll be staying up to close to mid-January, I think. Yeah, because
we
love it. And I think, for those people who think that, they get their own birth month, I almost feel like Jesus gets two, if you know what I mean. But ultimately December, so yeah, you get the picture. Something about Thanksgiving. So the pilgrims were coming over to America from Europe. They were fleeing tyranny because in Europe they had been dealing with lots of tyranny. And what is tyranny, you mean? Tyranny is like basically like dictating, in a sense it's almost like dictatorship. Like when there's tyranny, there's not much freedom at all. You had a great deal experience with tyranny during COVID, especially depending on if you live in America, it depended on what state. Most states did have some tyranny for a certain amount of time, but in other states it was for even longer. And there was even mask tyranny. That was where you were forced to wear masks. I mean, face diapers. When you went into a place, the governor said, the governor or governess in my state, she said you had to wear a mask in order to go into certain places. I mean, let me take that back. In order to go into any indoor place for a while, other than like a church. But even for months after we could go to the store and mall without a mask, it was basically still required via federal or something that we had to wear them to hospitals. Luckily now we're free of that, but you have certain hospitals and that mandate you to wear the mask. Because they started up the, I mean, because, COVID was on the rise. And there were plans to have us locked down again by now. You didn't know that the plan was for us to be already locked down again by now. Thankfully it failed. And whatever plans they have in the future, to lock us down again will also fail. And that the wheels of Pharaoh's chariots will come off. Okay, but back to the actual, you know, pilgrims. So they were fleeing from the tyranny of England, you know, Ireland, and Squanto was with them, and all these other people. And it took them a very long time to get here to the United States, to Massachusetts, where they ended up landing. Their ship, the Mayflower. When they got to Plymouth Rock, they were overjoyed when they landed. They gave thanks to God. The Mayflower landed in 1620. The first Thanksgiving was in 1621. And George Washington declared a day of Thanksgiving, like 1789 or 1790. Other presidents would likewise declare days of giving of thanks. It wasn't until the 1860s when Abraham Lincoln declared an annual day of Thanksgiving to be on the last Thursday of November, which later became the fourth Thursday of November. That was a compromise made in the 1930s. I mean, actually, like 1940, 1941. And it is to be made, you know, a day of thanksgiving to the Almighty God for the blessings that he has given us. It is to be also a day of prayer. Think about that. It's also supposed to be a day of prayer. If you're one who prays at all, Thanksgiving would be a great day to pray, if you pray at all. So many of us can miss that part of it and might still remember to say what we're thankful for. Hopefully you at least you do that. Hopefully you at least do that. You know, and have everybody say a couple of things that they're thankful for. So that's a great thing, I think, because ultimately, you know, I'm grateful to live in America. Is it perfect? No. Nowhere on earth is. Does America have its problems? Oh, yeah, it does. No, I'm not going to go into that kind of stuff tonight. I'm not. But, you know, it's about giving up thanks. And when you're trying to give thanks, you don't sit there and moan and groan about your problems.
Yeah.
Or about your country's problems, even. You want a political show? You want a political talk show host to talk to you about it? You know, there's Mark Levin you can listen to. You know, and even they might even offer solutions and stuff. You know, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and others who talk about that kind of stuff on a very regular basis. But I'm not doing that tonight. I'm not doing that. You know, when you're trying to give thanks, it's not when you bash everybody, you know, or certain political parties that aren't your own or whatever. So I'm not doing that. But it's giving thanks to God. That's what it's about. And we'll see that tonight when we go to Samuel 1, I'm going to talk about, you know, Hannah and her giving birth to Samuel and his vow, the vow that she made to God. And that's what we teach on. And the fact that she prayed and she thanked God. You know, she thanked him for that. Because ultimately we should live a life of gratitude. Not just on Thanksgiving or the days, you know, right before or even right after it. Speaking of right after, it's actually kind of amazing when you think about it, how some of the very same people who will be so thankful on Thanksgiving, they'll be so thankful. They'll even say the prayer at the dinner table with the family. They'll have a good, you know, meal with the Thanksgiving family and all that. The very next day, what will they do? Oh, here we are at the mall or the Walmart or Targets or wherever you decide to go, you know, start Christmas shopping. You know, called Black Friday, which they want to rechange the name of, I've heard, but don't know what to and don't know why. But so they head over there to go do their thing. So that's another, what do they do? I don't know how much they do it now. It probably depends. But they've been known to shove. They've been known to fight. They've been known to, you know, race each other, you know, chase each other through parking lot spots to find parking spots, to find a TV. They could have said, well, I'm thankful for everything I have. Now I want another TV. I'm thankful for everything I have, but now I need the latest and greatest Xbox. And I'm actually gonna take your parking spot. Because the thing is, and when they do that, no, it's not the fact that they go there. It's the fact that how some of them act. They show that they're not very thankful. It's how they act. It's not the fact that they went to buy. It's how they act. So, not ever. And I haven't really seen much of this myself. Have I heard of stuff? Yeah. Have I seen it? No. But I've heard, you know, of people are like, man, it is packed in here. And stuff like that, like at one of the busiest malls in Michigan, where I like to go to, called Greenwich Crossing. Also up Somerset, another one of the busiest ones in the state of Michigan that I went to several times on that day. But, you know, but we should live a life of Thanksgiving, not just on Thanksgiving Day itself or the day before. Wait, why do I feel like some of you right now listening could be chasing each other through parking lots at the grocery store? Why? You better not be. If you're listening to this in your car, and your husband or wife trying to park the car, they better not be chasing out the drivers through that parking lot. Because they'll be like, I want that better stuff. Thank you, Jesus, but I want that better. It's crazy what people will do.
Yeah, I will. They are crazy.
Yeah, like, it's like, are you really that thankful? Or are you doing that because you're cold? Or are you doing it because it's unreal. You know. But anyhow, so yeah, keep on, you know, bit on, you know, Hannah and her giving birth to Samuel, what all Calvin that. And then I got a couple football predictions to give. So we'll go from. Well, I remind you of a couple quick things first. Number one, there will not be a show tomorrow night because I have church. These other two announcements that I'm going to give. The Christmas music one. I already noted that starting Monday, the music, like when I sing, will be Christmas. Just to give you a heads up on that. Up to Christmas itself. There won't be a show on Christmas Day. It'll be a Monday. But that last show I do before then, will be a great classic Christmas show. I guarantee that much. It'll be great, as it always is. But I want to remind you, though, about the book, Rivers of Miracles. You can go online to paypal.com. No, riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing. And, hey, it's time to start Christmas shopping. So why not get a book for someone else? And you're like, hey, it's in Christmas time, when you see that certain person, you can give it to them and say, hey, that's your present. I want you to read this. So there's a book called Rivers of Miracles. It's a story about how this guy, the miracle man, his radio show that I listen to. And you can, read the book, Rivers of Miracles. The website you can go to is riversofmiracles.com. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of Miracles. .com. You'll be glad you did. The other thing that I would like to remind you about is about the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal in order to find out an indication about the book. You can go online to PayPal to sow your seed into the Miracle Man program if this has been a blessing to you. I pray it's been a blessing to you. I absolutely pray that it's been a blessing for you, as it's been a great thing. I've loved doing it. I really have enjoyed doing it. And I know God, has used me. He will continue to use me. And whatever I do for him, and I just thank the Lord for what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. And I just know that. You can go online to PayPal to sow your seed. Helps us, keep us going. And when you get on the website, in the search bar, you'll type in Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. please keep in mind there is a space between rivers and Shukla. The other thing related to that that I would like for you to keep in mind is that the first iron rivers, is capitalized. And then S and Shukla, also capitalized. Please keep that in mind. And there also, there's a space between rivers and Shukla. So please, like I said, just beware of it. Beware. Amen. Now I'm going to sing a couple songs. And then pray and get into the word of the Lord. How can I say thanks for what you've done for me? Through tears and praise, through it all to me. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the sins he has done, and through his power he saved me, and with his blood he raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. A pleasing love to thee, and there is right, and is blood on Calvary. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done. And with his power he saved me. And with his power he raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you.
Lord, we love you. Hot Lord, we love you. 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 Lord, we thank 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 you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Oh, in his arms I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected. In his arms I feel protected. And there's no place I'd rather be. No, but been in love with Jesus. Yes, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Oh, give my life to Jesus. Giving my life to Jesus. Giving my life to Jesus. Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done in us, for what you're doing in us right now, for what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's great to serve you. Thank you, Master, for what you've done. For what you're going to do, for who you are in us. Thank you, you're meeting the needs of every listener represented on this program, wherever they are,
whatever it is that they have need of. I know, Master, that you will meet their needs for them. You know what they need. And I know you will do meet those needs for them right where they are. You know what they need. I know you will meet their needs for them. I give you praise and honor and glory for that, Master. For what you've started in them. For what you're doing right now, Master, in your name. And I thank you that you're meeting the needs of every listener. Healing their bodies, strengthening their bodies, strengthening their minds. Whatever they need. Thank you that you're meeting those needs. Master. And now, I make my confession. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners tune into this program. Most importantly of all, I pray for the huge amount of souls coming into this kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. I want to start the first one, and we're going to go through to like the first couple verses of 2. To give us some context of this. Okay. 1 Samuel 1, I'm going to start with verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathiam, Ziphites, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elu, the son of Tahu, and another name, an Ephraimite. Elkanah had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other was called Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord closed her womb. Because the Lord closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Why is your face downcast? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating, and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his seat by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they rose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived, gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Verse 21. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and will present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you. Elkanah, her husband, told her, stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his work. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with the three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, as surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord there. Let's look at the first passage of chapter 2. We're not going to look at the whole chapter 2, but we'll look at the first passage, the first several verses. Okay. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, and I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock, capital R, like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons finds a way. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends, how do you know? He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the work. The world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And how can I went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord on Eli, under Eli the priest. To see here, she was thanking God. You know, she goes from talking to, you know, God had closed her womb, and obviously, you know, for a time, you know, Hannah had to deal with that, and for a time, you know, her rival, Peninnah, would provoke her, and she didn't like it. And Hannah would keep getting irritated and irritated and irritated and irritated and irritated and irritated. Then she decides, you know what? I'm going to give this to God. I'm going to give this to God. Ask and ask God for a son. And then she decides, and you know what? I'm going to give him to the Lord. She decides, you know, I don't care what they think. I'm going to give them to the Lord. So she has her baby, you know, after, you know, years and years of doing that, you know, going to Shiloh with her family, her rival, her husband, and their kids. the sons and daughters. And in the passage there, that the story that we read, it doesn't give the names of the other children, but you know, and they would go up there to sacrifice. You know, in those days they would do that. And they would go there, give their offering at the house of God, and then go home. It was different from how we, you know, in our day and age, go to church and bring our monetary offerings and tithes and that, and we thank God and we pray to God and we do those kinds of things. And so Eli notices her. He's like, Hannah, what's going on? She's crying. And he's like, well, are you drinking? She's like, I haven't been drinking at all. And she's like, she's saying, I'm troubled. And like, I'm trying to have a kid. I mean, I'm believing God to have a son. The Lord granted his request, her request. She had a son. She named him Samuel, because the Lord gave him. And then she gives the whole prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus. She gave him to the Lord. You know, we hadn't had Jesus yet, but what I mean is Jesus wasn't born to the earth yet at that time. But she gave Samuel to the Lord. I'm sure there were people that were like, what? What? You're going to give him to the Lord? Really? You're doing that? And she's saying, yep. Yes, I am. And then after she did it, like, yes, I did it. You know what? As a result of her doing that, she later gave birth to 3 more sons and 2 daughters for the one that she gave to the Lord, sacrificed to him. And I'm sure to her, that was a sacrifice, a huge sacrifice. She did that because she loved the Lord. Let me think of, I've been thinking of a couple of good like Thanksgiving verses. And I'm talking beyond just, you know, the different times where Jesus gave thanks, like where he gave thanks and broke the loaves, or gave thanks, you know, like we were feeding the thousands of people, gave thanks and distributed it to the people. But let me think. One like this, in the book of Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, for his love endures for a week. Oh, I'm sorry. A month. Oh, no. His love endures forever. Not a day, not a week, not a month. Forever. Give thanks in everything. Now, okay, or another way we could read it is this way. In everything, give thanks. Dr. Barclay likes to add, not for everything. Because we don't want to thank God for the bad things and try to credit him for causing bad things, which he does not do to us. Because he does not try to harm us. He does not put sickness and disease upon us. He does not do things for us that are not good for us. God does not do that. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. And other verses. I was just thinking of different, thanksgiving verses. Verses about giving thanks to God. And I'm just thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. And over the next couple of days, it might not be a bad idea to give part of your testimony to somebody and why you're so thankful to God. Like, I'm thankful to God that I'm still alive right now. Honestly, I was supposed to die many years ago. But you know what? If I'm not dead, God's not done with me. I'm convinced of that. Miracle Man, are you sure? Yeah, I am for sure. If I am not dead, he is not done, period. You know something else? The victory is greater than the battle. The victory is greater than the battle. Doesn't matter how big that battle is, how severe that battle feels. But I know the victory is greater than the battle. Period. 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 I know that for a fact. And one way to thank Jesus, I think one of the greatest ways you can thank Jesus is when you show up to his house to worship him, to praise him. Learn the word, get your faith built up. But the thanksgiving part is through, prayer and worship. That's a great way. I feel like that's a great way to give thanks unto God. And I think about what he's done for us. We could never pay him back enough for what he's done. He paid a debt that we couldn't pay. And we could never thank him enough for what he's done. And I just, I'll never forget what he's done. I'll never forget. And we really should. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. We do. Not just one of Thanksgiving either. Because it can almost seem easy, like one of Thanksgiving, and it's like, oh, it's Thanksgiving week. just try to be thankful. Just we should be that way all the time. We should. And I'm not just talking about, I think the maker that made that pumpkin pie, mm-hmm. or the apple pie, or the maker of that candy corn, or I think the maker who made the sweet potato stuff. No, excuse me, I don't like sweet potatoes. I mean I think the maker who made this cheesy potato casserole.
Yeah.
And all that, like at the dinner table, don't just make Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving weekend where it's just a 4-day, you know, drinking, carousing thing. Don't do that. You know, thank God. You thank God. And tell someone about what God's done for you. Please. Whether that's a family member that you don't know whether they're saved or not. Maybe if you do Black Friday, somebody there maybe while you're waiting in line, maybe. Those of you who are still brave enough to do that, I mean, I'll be there, but I don't know about any of y'all's listeners. I still go out there, but if you're watching football, that could be a good time to tell somebody about what God's got. And, you know, and we can have fun. You just don't have to sin. Fun, but no sin. You don't have to have sin in it. You know. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word. I pray that we would get this word in our hearts, that we would be grateful people, that we would have an attitude of gratitude. And I thank you that we would do this and not just be those who hear about it, but decide not to do it and choose to complain and be ungrateful. Not help us, Lord, not to do that, but to instead be grateful. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, in terms of sports, we have a few games I want to highlight and predict. First off, I'll start with the NFL. Thursday, Turkey Day. Lions versus Bears, number 2 at Ford Field. I say number 2 because they already played Lions, Bears at Ford Field once this year, and that was Sunday. This will be round 2. When I look at this one, I think about, will the Lions come out where they left off at the end of the game and just be ready to play? Or will they be like how they were for much of that game and just be behind and all that? Which Lions team will we see? Will we see a Bears team that will decide to play how they played for a lot of Sunday's game? Or will they be like how they were at the end? Well, honest prediction here. Roaring Lion, 31. I can go 20. Well, you say, where did that come from? Chicago. Kind of sounds like she can go. So I thought it would be funny, so I named it I Can Go. That's why I did that. That's why I did that. yeah, so 31-20 Lions over the Bears. Michigan State, Penn State, Ford Field on Friday. I think, honestly, Michigan State will put up a fight. A bit of a fight. I do think Penn State will end up winning this game, though. My honest prediction. Pencil State, 36. Izzo State, 27. The big one. Michigan, Ohio State at the Big House. Ann Arbor. Saturday, noon, Michigan without Harbaugh, Ohio State now ranked ahead of Michigan. Michigan has been ranked ahead of Ohio State most of the year. Now they find themselves behind. And honestly, I think both teams will play their hearts out. I think they will play very gritty on both sides of the ball. Both teams. I expect it to be tight. Like how Michigan versus that team down south was for much of the game last year. But they didn't finish that way as Michigan went on a big, huge scoring spree near the end and won that game, like 43-21. Or in 2021 where for a while it was tight and then Michigan, you know, put it away. I think this one will be close throughout. I could almost see it where every time one scores the other, whether it's right away or a few minutes later, comes back and scores, and if they don't tie it, makes it within like 3 points. This is honestly what I see. I mean, it's just what I feel like it's going to be like. Honest prediction. Low, high, and outside. 31. Warning again. 28. They'll go for that team to the south will be forced to go for a field goal near the end of it. They won't have a choice. They basically won't have a choice. They'll get it. The Buckeye defense will have to make a stand, and I'll make the stand. They'll end up winning. 31-28, Ann Arbor. My honest prediction. So then, you know, there's other kickoff games. You know, I mean, other games at the end of the season that we could talk about. And with that in mind, I decided, you know, that our always last game of the season, the regular season for some teams. And for that, we go to the Iron Bowl in Alabama. Auburn versus Alabama. Alabama, heavy favorite. Honest prediction. Roll Tide roll. 36. all burnt up. 21. I think Auburn will put up a bit of a fight for a while, but then Alabama will end up pulling away with it. Okay. So, to go over your picks again, we have Lions over the Bears, Michigan State falling to Penn State. I have that team to the south taking down Michigan, squeaking past Michigan, heck, more like it. And then last but not least, Alabama taking down Auburn. So those are my perfect picks for this weekend. And I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no texting driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, none of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy, be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. And until Monday, God first, God always. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. So long.